Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach in Arlington, Virginia. Each week I'm in really bad traffic and that gives me about 11 minutes to brainstorm or brain dump. And so what I love to do is just sort of take a thing that is in the education space, either it's on Twitter or it's in education blogs, things that I'm reading, and just talk about it. And I do this in the car every week, and hopefully if what I'm saying makes sense, people talk about it with me on Twitter all week long and just message me back, because I'm all in to help teachers, whatever they can do to change the game in their classes. That's what this is for. So if you like what you're hearing, feel free to hit that subscribe button or to head to my website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's also the name of my book, which is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. Or you can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU. That's like Meehan, like my last name. And ED like teaching. And today, I'm talking all about back to school night. That night where you get a chance to get 8 minutes, or 10 minutes, or 15 minutes, or 20 minutes to talk to the parents and the grandparents and the uncles and aunts and the guardians and the caretakers of the little guys who are entrusted to our care. Now, if you work in the middle school or the elementary school, you probably have a little bit more time. As you work your way up to the older levels, it usually means less time, and there are usually fewer parents who make their way in, or you know, families that make their way in on the tail end of it, because they've been through that route before. I remember when I was a kid, I would always stay up late on that night when my mom and dad went to back to school night, and I think that's funny because I grew up in a small town in New Jersey, and we literally lived less than a football field away from where the elementary school or the middle school was. So when they went through the grades, you know, 5 through 8, mom and dad literally just walked there, which is a very like old timey thing to think about in even in a modern context. But they did; they just walked there. And so like I'm, you know, 5th or 6th grade, and I'd be babysitting my brothers, and it's really just like they'd be out for an hour or 2 hours, and I'm responsible for like making sure the house doesn't burn down when they're away. But I remember I'd be mortified, terrified, like frozen in my tracks, wondering what my moms and dads were going to hear when they came back and what kind of report they would give me when they saw, you know, 5, 6, 7 teachers in a row get these reports about school. And so if you're a teacher in a classroom, I think that's funny because we see it now from the other side and we're like, I see so many parents in the course of one night, or so many families in the course of one night, or so many, you know, stepdads, uncles, aunts, whatever it is in one night. I barely remember who shows up. And because the rotations are so darn fast, it's like 8 to 10 minutes in each of 5 classes or 7 classes or, you know, whatever it is. Because moms and dads only have so much time and families only have so much time, right? If they're cycling through every class in their kid's schedule, plus the 5 minutes it takes to walk between room to room to room, like, they only have an hour or 2 hours there a night because they probably need to get a sitter or they need to have, like, an older sibling at home watching the younger siblings. And so, really, what can you say in 8 minutes other than, hey, I'm so-and-so, and this is my class. All right, I'll see you later. But I think my wife gave me a really good tip on this that served me well early in my career. She's a music teacher, and she's a fantastic, just a very kind, very thoughtful, very compassionate, very dedicated educator. And like most music teachers, she's all in for her kids, not just during the day, but after school and on weekends. Music teachers, more than any, really have those crazy schedules because they have, like, whether it's rehearsals or concerts or festivals or auditions and choirs and, you know, the play. And it's basically like being an athletic coach on top of the teaching game. But she said, students have like 3 questions when they walk into your classroom for the very first time. Question one is, where do I sit? Question number two is this person okay? Like, can I trust this person? And then the third question they have is like, okay, so what's this class all about? But it usually goes in that order. First is like, well, where do I sit? And the second is, who's this guy or this gal? And then the third is, so what's this class all about? And I think that for me has been really helpful in designing my back to school nights, because we only have, I think, 8 minutes at my school where I currently am. It's not a lot of time. And I have 3, you know, basic points I want to hit. Where do I sit? Who's this guy? And what's this class all about? And the parents are kind of okay with the where do you sit, so you can kind of skip that one. But emotionally speaking, metaphorically speaking, they kind of want to know where they sit or where they stand in regards to the level of involvement they can expect from you as an educator. if you're reading out, if reaching out weekly with newsletters or with emails or with some sort of school portal, like, they want to know where they stand with you on that and how to get a hold of who you are. An easy way to do this, and this is an obvious thing for all teachers, is just, like, put your contact information on the board. But I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast are first-year educators, and sometimes these procedural things, we just kind of forget, right? So I find that to be really, really helpful. Contact information is on the board in front of me, or the board behind me, as soon as I walk in. And it makes my life easier because I'm a floating teacher who doesn't even have my own classroom. What I'll do is when they come in, I'll have just a slide up on the slideshow, and that slide just has my contact information. Kind of says, sit anywhere you like, American literature, you know, honors or something like that, with my contact info. Likewise, I'll put the name of my course up there, which sounds so stupid, but again, where do I sit, right? They might not know the school. They might have two or three children in your building, or they may, like, not know the people around them, so they're just finding their way into this room and thinking they're in room 233. Turns out they're in room 235, and they sit down and you start a lecture about, you know, science class. And in that 2 to 3 minutes as people are filing in, you kind of forget to say, hi, I'm so-and-so, welcome to American Literature. And because they're sort of still fumbling over the schedule, they are not processing who you are. So I'll just have that slide up in the background. It's a great first tip for teachers. American Literature, Mr. Meehan, or Mr. John Meehan, contact information right there. So that's, you know, the where do I sit question. Question who that guy is. They want to know who you are in relationship to their children, whether they're their biological children or whether they're children that are in their charge. They're taking time out of their day to check up on what the school has to offer in the way of support and services for the kids who they're responsible for. And so it helps to give a little bit about who you are as a background. You don't have to get into your life bio, but I find it really helpful to say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I've been in this building for X number of years. You know, here's why I got into teaching. And even that story in like a 30-second version lets people feel at ease around you. They can kind of understand your educational philosophy, how you approach this. And they've already met 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 other teachers that night if it's later in the schedule. So you're all kind of blurring together. And you become that guy with the mustache or that lady with the glasses or that short guy or that, you know, that lady with the brown hair. Like, they don't think at a certain point of who you are on a name basis. And it's not to be rude, but they will literally see you tonight and they may never see you again, save but graduation or parent-teacher conferences. And those conference nights, a lot of times families don't come or they don't have the opportunity or the need to check in. So you become like a name behind an email that will contact them semi-regularly. But I think it's important to give, you know, a flash piece of who you are. Hey, I'm John. I've been at the school for 10 years or 5 years or whatever it is. And I really love teaching. And what I love most about teaching is, you know, a short kind of, you know, aphorism for a nut there. We live in an era of the internet. And so the question is, well, what's this course all about? I think the gracious thing, the kind thing to do is any handouts you do in 2019 or forward is just to give that handout with a QR code or a website address right there on it, because they're going to lose those handouts that you give. If you wanted to make it even easier, have one slide up behind you with a QR code behind it that says your name, your course, and that slide is right there that they can scan that to get all the documents they would ever need. Because all those handout materials, they're not going to have a chance to read them while you're talking to them. If you want people to listen while you talk, don't hand out a thing. And if you want them to read that thing, then don't talk. But they only have 8 minutes. I think the era of the pass out a index card, you know, 3x5, and write down one thing about your child might be a little passé. What I like to do, though, is capitalize on that exact same spirit. So I'll give a via email before back to school night a survey or a questionnaire for families. Hey, can you fill us out about your student? It'll take about 2 minutes. Let me know some insight about what I can do to better serve your learner. And if they haven't already received that, you can certainly put that on even a slip of paper with a QR code that families can take with them and say, you can just be so kind as to fill this out. It'll help me get to know your student better. Teaching is really relational. And the more I know about, you know, things that, you know, make them motivated, then the more I can tap into that energy in the classroom. Because then you can spend 4 to 5 minutes in that face-to-face time just letting them know. So here's the overview of what the course is. What you can expect in the way of homework or what, you know, we're looking for in the way of assessment. You can kind of lay out your educational philosophy and some of the more pragmatic stuff that they can expect when they come home, the type of stories they can expect to hear. Likewise, because teaching is relational, if moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles are all a part of the conversation, like giving them those resources to say, hey, here's my philosophy on education, but I need your help. you come in to help us out. If you have things like a remind text message alert service or email support chain, or even like the old, you know, snow chains where you can person A call B, call C, or an LMS or a website that they can access. We live in an era where 24/7 connectivity is kind of expected. And so I don't like to spend too much time in those back to school nights laying out procedural things and paperwork things and saying, well, quizzes are worth 30 points and tests are worth 40 points and homework is worth 6 points. And like, I don't really care about points. Maybe that's just my personal educational philosophy. But it's not a time to get into deep dive with individual students or like individual matters. And oftentimes parents just have so many general questions that to shut down the entire thing to take questions, you might only be able to answer one or two questions in the course of a 10-minute window. So I like to keep it, you know, kind of on the rails and say there's three things we're going to talk about. Where do you sit or stand with me emotionally? Like, you know, pragmatically, how can we connect with one another? Who's this guy? So you give a little bit about your education space and your background, what you do in the school and why you love what you love. And then, well, what's this class all about? You guys remember it, or moms and dads, or grandmas and grandpas? This is the course like you took when you were in high school, except blah, 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 blah. Here's the new bells and whistles. Here's the types of assessment you could expect. Here's how to get a hold of me. Scan these documents as you walk out. Those surveys are so critically important. And if you wanted to, you can even do most of this in 2019 as like a Flipgrid. So if you had to miss a back-to-school night, you can still film a short video and leave that video up and then ask families as they attend, or maybe just as an email, hey, film a short Flipgrid response to this video and let me know a little about your kid that they might not, you know, I can't Google about it and they might not tell me in class. You know, maybe Billy really loves anime, but he wouldn't talk about it. Or he's a great writer, but, you know, you got to tease it out of him. Or man, she's really wonderful at poetry, but she'll never tell a soul. Those are the sort of things we want to see that, you know, families know their kids. And so to lean in those conversations to kind of build those relational things early. The logistics and like the nitty gritty, we can get to that later, and I can get that in the handouts and the emails afterwards. But I think the relationships are so critically important. The sooner you can establish that, the smoother the class you'll run for everybody. That's it for today. Thank you so much. I hope all is well and that you're enjoying your back to school time. And we'll be back next week with another episode on Monday. Thanks again.